I love that roll in. Those little baby feet, the little baby mouth. I love that. This morning, welcome to Stuttgart Harvest Church. We're so glad you're here. If you're listening online, we are so glad that you're taking part with us. Nash is going to be visiting with you today online. He's online with you as well. And also, I just want to make a comment about what Whitney and Jeremy just talked about, and that was the app. And we do have notes today on the app. So if you download that app, it'll take you about a minute and a half for that to happen. But download it, open it. If you are a note taker, or if you want to kind of follow along this morning, my notes are on there. And just download the app. There's a tab that says notes, and that will get you to that. So we're glad you're here this morning. I grew up going to church. My parents had me there all the time. My journey, in fact, you don't know this about me. My journey into the atmosphere of this earth literally began in church. My mom left a Sunday night worship experience early, right in the middle of my dad's sermon. It was in Norman, Oklahoma, and she headed straight to the hospital. My dad was the pastor of that church, and of course, he joined her eventually after he was done with his sermon. You know, you got to get in that ladder. What would they do? What would the church do without two sermons on that Sunday? He had to get that last sermon in. The church would surely have fallen apart. So he got that in. He met her at the hospital. After all, I was the last of six children. And so I guess he knew at that point my mom was a pro, and she was. But church, so I grew up being taught some very specific things about church. In fact, the word church itself is a made-up word. It's a transliteration. But it's one of those words that if you say it over and over again, church, 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 the more you say it, the more weird it sounds, right? And suddenly you're like, is that even a word? Am I saying it right? It's just one of those words. But in the South, as we call the Bible Belt, there are many, many churches. And churches in the Bible Belt are generally seen in about the same way, pretty close. Many folks in the Bible Belt, they usually see a church as something that's, you know, a good organization, doing some good things, and it's something that many folks choose to be a part of. And if it's often the church environment, it's often respected. I was just teasing someone just a moment ago about talking in church, right? Because when I was growing up, that was a no-no. We had to pass notes. We didn't get to talk. We had to pass notes. But here, you know what? When we need to say something to the person beside us, we just say it. It's a different environment today. But the whole church atmosphere is generally respected. And growing up, there were because that atmosphere was kind of protected, growing up, there were two times as I was a child and a teenager that were protected kind of by the school and by business activities and work activities, right? Do you know what those 2 days were? Sunday and Wednesday, right? The schools did not have things on Sundays or Wednesdays. Why? Because that's when the church would gather, right? But you step outside of the Bible Belt, many people who live in areas outside of the Bible Belt, they often see church differently than we do here in the South. in outside of the Bible Belt, largely in the North and Midwest, and on the coastal areas, you see maybe handfuls of folks who go to church, but most of them don't. And there are different; they have different opinions about the church. Some see church as kind of separatist or isolationist. They can have a tendency to see a church as kind of more like a private club or an organization with lots of rules. And sometimes they look at a church and they say, that's a place where there's lots of judgment. They have judgment for people like me who are not in the church, they might say. They might themselves make a judgment on that church and say, well, that's just a place where they go and they dress up and they go and show off some clothes. They might see church filled with people, in their opinion, that they might call goody-goody folks, right? They might see church as a group of people who are against a lot of things, that maybe they're angry or rude or picketing or all these things, shouting, boycotting, they're against this, they're against that. And it's just a bunch of fist shakers and finger pointers. And truthfully, for the past 35 years, that view of the church outside of the Bible Belt has become the major view of the church, even inside of the Bible Belt. So many people see the church as just a group of angry, against, judgmental, snobbish, finger-pointing, fist-shaking hypocrites. And all of that leaves me wondering, well, where is Jesus in all of that? I mean, surely that's not what Jesus had in mind. Surely that's not what Jesus intended with the church. I mean, because who wants to be a part of something like that anyway? And if that's the option, well, I'm like, I'm opting out. That doesn't sound like any organization I want to be a part of. And you might say, whew, good thing it is optional because I've got better things to do with my time. Because really, where is Jesus in all of that? And so let's talk about that. Luke wrote all about the birth, the life, and the work of Jesus on the earth. And we actually have a copy of what Luke wrote. It's called The Gospel According to Luke. And it's Luke's biography of Jesus. And after that, at some point after he wrote the biography, his biography of Jesus, he then wrote the book that we refer to as Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Now, Acts is actually a continuation of the work of Jesus, only it's the birth, life, and work of his body on this earth, and that body is called the church. When Jesus entered into the atmosphere of his creation, earth, Jesus was a brand new species. We had never seen anything like Jesus before in all of history. He was fully God and at the same time fully human. So his body is also his body, his ecclesia, his church is also a new species. Never before seen upon this earth. And we see this new body, this new species born right here in the pages of Acts. It's in the book of Acts that we continue to see Jesus. In this book of Acts, after Jesus has already died, rose again, walked out of that tomb, right? And ascended to be with the Father in heaven. It is in this book of Acts that we continue to see Jesus Christ preaching the gospel, Jesus Christ reaching out to Jews and Gentiles, Jesus Christ raising up this corporate expression of himself throughout the Roman Empire. But this time, this is all happening through this brand new species that we see born in this book of Acts. It's his church. And all we can say to that is, oh, baby. It's even interesting to watch how Luke uses similar language to the birth of Jesus' physical body here on earth and the birth of his spiritual body. In fact, I want to read you a passage that shows you a similarity. Luke chapter 1, this is the Gospel of Luke, verse 35. The angel replied, so here, listen to this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. He's having a conversation. The angel is having a conversation with Mary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Now listen to that. That the way the angel worded that with the birth of the physical body of Jesus. And now let's look at the birth of his spiritual body. And listen to this language in Acts, also written by Luke, chapter 1, verse 7. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then we look at 2:4. And everyone present was filled with that Holy Spirit. Luke opens with Christ being conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. And he opens the book of Acts. He opens the book of Acts with Christ being conceived in his people by the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus' birth, his life, and his work, it's followed by his church's birth, life, and work. The entire book of Acts is a duplication of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, just this time through his church. His church was born with instincts, new instincts. And those instincts are, this is so important, those instincts are for community. Do you realize the first thing that the new church being birthed did, these followers of Jesus, when they received his Spirit, they began to meet regularly with each other? Acts chapter 2, verse 46, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. They have this instinct to gather with their own kind, not in a separatist way, but in a family way. And they gathered often. God has written that desire, that need, into the very DNA of this new creation, this new species called a church. And I do believe that every genuine follower of Jesus has some thirst for this community as they are drawn together. And it's not because they ought to. Oh, that's a whole different category. It's not because they feel like, oh, I have to. Oh, I ought to. There's this feeling on the inside of, I need to get with my church. You see, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are drawn together as completely one. And that drawing together, that binding, is the love of God. And once God's Spirit is in your life, then his love draws us together and binds even us together. And this is what we see now with his birth. Here it is. When a Christ follower is following the leading of God's Spirit, the eternal purpose of God for that Christ follower to instinctively love other Christ followers and desire to gather together. You see, once born into this new life, they're part of something. This concept is so important for us to hear and understand in America. There is no such thing as individual salvation. One is not born and then sent off into isolation with just maybe you and Jesus. It doesn't work that way. Let me know if you recognize this. Me and you and me. No matter how they toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together, right? You recognize that? That's not how it works in the Christian life. Just want you to know. I love the song to follow, but that's not how it works. That is not God's design for you as a follower. We are not born and then sent off alone like reptiles. Have you watched the turtles emerging from their shell and then heading towards the ocean, right? No, that's not how it works. Where's mama, right? No, that's not how it works. You're not sent off alone like a reptile. But this is interesting to me, though. I know this is way, way side note, but I want to say it. Evil one is portrayed to us the first time we're really introduced to him. He is portrayed to us as a serpent, right? A serpent who ultimately succeeds in seeing Adam and Eve separated from God and also from each other. The evil one, this reptilian type being, this who he is of his nature, that's a better word, this nature, this serpent-like nature, succeeded in escorting them, Adam and Eve, into a cursed land, isolated. You don't see snakes hanging out together, do you? Right? It's very serpent-ish. But this new creation, this new life that is found in Christ, means that you're not born into isolation or individualism like a reptile. No, 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 no. In God's plan, you're born into a body, into a family, more like mammals. Born into a body, a place of care, a place of where you're going to be nurtured, a place where you can safely grow. Here's a big thought. Salvation isn't an individual transaction between you and Jesus. It is a birth. It is a transition from one community, which this is a community of separation and a community of death. So it's a birth, a transition from this community to another community. And this community, you're transitioning into a community that is the body of Christ. And with this body, there are no amputated parts running around there, divided, severed from the body, following their own unique path. You don't see a hand flopping around like the thing, right? You don't see a foot running off by itself. But our natural tendency is to divide and to fight. And Paul admonishes us with this phrase, speaking to believers. He says, is Christ divided? In other words, you can't divide his body. You can't amputate parts of his body and send them on their way. You can't divide his body. You can't fight against yourself. It's not healthy. It's like cutting yourself off from the very body that is going to grow you and feed you and nurture you, and it won't lead to you growing or thriving. When we are all following God's Spirit, if you're a follower of Jesus, we are drawn tightly into his body more and more and more. We see this throughout the journal of Acts. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. More and more people believed and were brought into the Lord, crowds of both men and women. Luke is recording that the church is growing. Local gatherings are spreading and being started. from local gathering. They'll start another local gathering in another town, sometimes in the same town. More and more, the gatherings were growing. People were coming. This was going viral. The church was growing in these different local cells. It was growing so quickly that the first church, the one that was in Jerusalem, they weren't sure if all of this was really legit, you know? They were wondering, is this for real? And so the church in Jerusalem sends Barnabas to take a look at what's happening and go report back. Go look at this one specific church in this area. Tell us what's happening. Is this legit? What's going on? And report back to us. And here's what he found. Acts chapter 11. When he, that's Barnabas, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them, these people in this church, to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. It describes Barnabas now, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. And so Barnabas goes back and he reports to the church in Jerusalem. He reports to them, and he's saying, listen, this is legit. More and more people are being added to these local gatherings. They're not being saved and then sent off on their own alone. They're being added to this fellowship. And don't miss this. What were they added to? Were they added to a master list? Kind of like a roll call for heaven? Oh yes, there, you're on the roll. You're good. That's not what this verse says. Were they added to a giant group of people with a label? You know, like now you are one. Yes, you're saved now. You are now one among all. It's interesting. Now you are one of them. Although, it's interesting that the very church that Barnabas went to investigate, that's the very town in that local gathering where the outsiders, not part of the church, looked at that group, and that's where they first called them Christians. And it was kind of a slang term. It was a put down. And clearly, that's not what we just read. That's not what they were being called to, this label called Christian. It's not saying, and they were saved and they were given a label. You are now part of this group we call Christians. Now, the outsiders might label them as Christians, but that's not what God did. Did you see what he said, Barnabas? In verse 24, he said, a great many people were added to what? The Lord. The Lord. Those people, once saved, were added to Jesus. They were added to his body. They were born into his body. They didn't join. They didn't sign up. They didn't become a member. In fact, in our church, the Sacred Heart Harvest Church and the church in Malvern, we don't even use that language of membership here. We do use the term partnership, but you don't sign up to be a member here. How did you join your family? Did you fill out a card? No, you were born into it. How do you become a member of God's family? You are spiritually born into it. You're born into the church, his body, on this earth. We are the body of Jesus. And Acts chapter 9 describes how Saul, who is also called Paul, how he hunted down, tortured, and killed many, many followers of Jesus who were part of the body of Christ. I want to read something to you. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way. Those were people following Jesus, who is the way, right? The truth and the life. Followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked, and the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." Now, this is remarkable. I want you to notice that Jesus is taking this personal. Now, Paul might respond to Jesus, "You? Jesus, I'm not persecuting you. I'm persecuting your followers." And Jesus didn't even say, "Paul, why are you persecuting my church?" Jesus said, "Paul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" So here's the question. How does Jesus view the church? This is the exact question here we need to answer. And here's how Jesus views the church. It is his body, and it is inseparable from him. The church is not a doctrine. It is not an abstract theology. The church is his body. And it's a body that we don't request membership into. It's a body we are born into, added by his Holy Spirit. That's who adds us to his body, which his body is alive very well. And it is growing. You see, Jesus, this very moment, is still working and he is still reaching, even though his physical body is in heaven at God's right hand. Jesus himself is still reaching, working, loving, saving through his spiritual body. The book of Acts, it is full of Jesus preaching the gospel, reaching out to Gentiles like you and me. It's full of him raising up corporate expressions of himself throughout the Roman Empire, and it is all done through his spiritual body, which is now on earth. Oh, baby. When you submit your life to the care and the control of Christ, his Spirit moves into you, and you are then born into his body. And if you are following his Spirit, your instinct is a need to gather tightly with that body, because that's where you will grow. That's where you will be nurtured. That's where you will nurture others. It is there you will thrive. And from that body, you will impact the world around you, this community around you, and your family around you. And that impact is going to be felt in that world in which you live, in which you work, in which you shop. And as you live that life that is being changed in you, do you know what happens? The changes in you begin to draw, through God's Spirit, other people toward Jesus. And when they See, the difference that Jesus is making in your life, some of those people, those very people who see what's happening in your life, they will then maybe, possibly, through God's Spirit, submit their lives to His care and His control, the care and the control of Jesus. You know what happens then? His Spirit moves in to them. And they are born into His body. And if they're following God's Spirit, they instinctively gather tightly with that body because it is there that they will grow. It is there that they will be nurtured. It's there that they will nurture others. It's there that they will thrive. And from there, they will begin to impact the world around them. It's that world where they live and they work and they shop. And as they do you know what happens? The changes in them, God's Spirit uses that to begin to draw other people toward Jesus. And as that happens, they are ready to tell those people the difference that Jesus is making in their life. And some of those people begin to submit their lives to the care and the control of Jesus. His Spirit moves in spirit, and they are born into His body. And if they're following God's Spirit, they begin to have that need and they act on it to draw closely, tightly into that body. Because it is there that they will grow. It is there that they will be nurtured. And it is there that they will nurture others. They will thrive there. And from there, they begin to impact the world around them and that world in which they live and work and shop. And as they do you know what happens? The changes in them, God's Spirit uses that to draw other people toward Jesus. And then when the opportunity presents itself, then they're ready to tell them about the difference that Jesus is making in their life. And this has been the plan from before time. It is God's eternal plan, His eternal purpose for the family of God, for the body of Christ. And today we simply want to ask you this: will you rethink this thing called church? We're asking you to allow God's Spirit to help you have a paradigm shift, which means an entire change in thinking. Understanding that what I did thought, this does not apply any longer. I have to have a whole new way of thinking about something. That's a paradigm shift. And here's the shift. The church is not a building. The church is not a worldwide label called Christian. The church is not even an option. It's not an additional thing, something for us to be involved in as Christians. It is not a club. It is not an organization. It is not something in which you request a membership. It is His body, the body of Jesus. This is His. And we are born into the Lord. And it is His body. And it is expressed in many local gatherings that are alive and well, and they're working on this earth right now. And as His body is working, it is Jesus Himself working. And if Scripture is true, one is not born into an individual journey of just them following Jesus alone, just them and Jesus. They are born into this body. And Jesus expresses that in many, many local gatherings in across all around the states, countries, villages, all around the earth. You see, Americans see church as one of many things in which we can be involved. But Jesus sees it as His body. And it is from that body which everything else happens. It is not just a good organization to be involved in when schedules allow. by God's plan and by God's timing, Jesus is still to this very day, this very hour, this very minute, this very second, he is reaching, loving, nurturing, and he is growing on this earth. And it is from him that all schedules of ours are created, because every follower of his is in him, born into that body. So we either are going to view his body that way, or here's the big question: are we simply just fitting Jesus in to our busy lives? This requires an honest evaluation. Think about this with me for just a moment. Did you, on some level this morning, understand his church the way most Americans understand his church? Or this morning, perhaps, did he begin the process of giving you an entire paradigm shift about his body? And all I can say is, oh baby, hang on, because he is just getting started. Let's pray. Father, I am so, so grateful that we are born into the body of Christ. And that if somehow we choose to try to live our lives somewhat separate from that body, then we are choosing to live amputated. Amputated from your body, Jesus. And from there, we will never thrive. Jesus, so often we have just simply viewed your body as something that we will be part of if we happen to be in town, if we happen to not have another pressing agenda item. Jesus, we have tried to fit you into our schedules. Everything else seemed to come first before you and your body, Jesus, because it felt like an option. And Jesus, I pray that you will lead us to begin this process of repentance. Forgive us that we have so often seen your body as optional. We ask that you begin to help us change our thinking, to change our decision-making process. And Jesus, as only you can do, will you help us begin to change our priorities? And we trust you as best we can. Us and guide us. And may we, as your Spirit convicts us and draws us, may we submit to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.